Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about beauty stuff, you know, skincare. But before we get into that, you all have been sending me some recommendations for podcasts because you're as addicted as I am. And I've been listening to some of them. Some of them are really good. And some of them are not really my thing. But I do have a question. How in the world can y'all stand to listen to, the idle chit-chat that are on the podcasts that have two people hosting? Holy shit, that was driving me crazy. I don't know. I guess if you're used to listening to a podcast that's driven by two people, you're used to it. But I'm used to like serial killer and true crime podcasts where it's more like, hey, this is an introduction to our host. And then, okay, let's learn how to kill people effectively. I just don't really care. It's a terrible word or a terrible combination of words. It's not that I don't care. I just really don't have any interest in what happened on their weekend at the coast or how white girl wasted they got during a bachelorette party or which paint swatch they've decided to go with in their bonus room. I mean, seriously, do you guys like that? Do you like that mindless chatter? It really bothered me, but I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I'm engaging in it right now, so I probably should shut the fuck up and get on into my own podcast. I don't know if there was something in the air last week or the last couple of weeks, but I got four, not one, not two, not three, but four requests on Instagram to talk about booth rentals, or rather what to expect or what to expect from your experience when renting. Now, I think maybe that more people have decided to go out on their own because of COVID, and clients want minimal contact with other people when they're with you. And I get it, which is why I also decided to put on my big girl panties and go out on my own and rent a small space. But I told you guys that I took a job like right within the span of 2 weeks of COVID hitting and everyone getting laid off from work, basically. Y'all, it so did not work out. They were crazy. This space was out of date. I expected to see like a jug of Tang being offered on a beverage cart by a woman with rollers in her hair. It was so, so unprofessional. My clients, they were not happy. They were not happy with me that they had to make the drive, and they were not happy with me that they had left such a affluent area to come to an area that was still affluent, but the salon did not look it. So I said, fuck it. The world is burning anyway, so let's just burn with it. So let's talk about rentals. A booth rental is going to vary from state to state, from person to person, from business to business. So there's not really a way that I can tell you what to expect. I can tell you what I've experienced. I can tell you what other people have experienced that I know. And I can tell you the things that we go through here. So anything that I tell you is related to the state in which I am. So please remember, it varies from state to state. I think there are even places that don't allow booth rentals, if I'm remembering correctly. Is it New Jersey? Wait, it's New Jersey or Washington? Or wait, is it Pennsylvania? I think it's Pennsylvania that doesn't allow chair or booth rentals at all. You might want to look that up. And Washington is where you can't rent in a place that has employees doing the same thing. So if you go into a large spa, sometimes there are rooms to the side that have a door, so they're a little bit private. And a lot of times salon owners will rent those out to stylists, to nail techs, to massage therapists, or even to estheticians. And they'll charge them a rent so that they're always turning a profit on that room. But if the salon already has those people employed, they can't rent the room out doing the same job. Does that make sense? Just check with your local governing board if you're moving to a different state, and they'll let you know what's up. Now, a typical rental agreement such as the one I signed states you'll do only things that you're licensed to do in your space while respecting the rules of the franchise that you're renting from. and you'll pay your rent on time every week, blah, 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 or they'll kick your ass out. And then you still have to pay them because they're going to take you to court. Done. I've not had any issues so far other than some dumbass walked into my room while I was working on a facial client because I forgot to latch my door, but that's it. I barely see the property manager. From what I can tell in the small amount of time I have been in the space, everybody, you know, they just do their own thing and then they go home. And that is just the way I like it. Now, when I first got into aesthetics, I tried this once in 2009 and I rented a room inside of a makeup studio / retail store. I was super new and I had no clue how any of it worked. I went in blindly, trustful that this chick who had been in the industry for 20 years wouldn't fuck me over. The lesson to learn. The rent was, it was expensive, I believe, for that time period. I mean, it was like $155 or $175 a week. And to me, that was a lot of money. And this lady set my hours. I didn't have keys to the front door, which I know legally I necessarily don't have to have. But my landlord was always late, so I'd be standing out there with my client feeling awkward because we're both waiting on this lazy-ass owner to come open up the shop. She was constantly in my room when I wasn't there, and I know for a fact she was using my back bar products on herself and on some of her clients. I wised up pretty quickly. I left almost as soon as I got there because thank goodness it was a month-to-month lease and not a year lease. Now, if you want to hear something really bad, I had a friend who rented in 2008. So she went straight from school and she tried a job in, do you guys remember Dillard's? Is Dillard's still a thing? So she was working in a salon in Dillard's and it sucked. So within 2 months, she was out on her own renting a room. And again, she had no clue what she was doing. We're both new to the industry. The landlord required her to dress a certain way, wouldn't give her keys to her own room. They made her attend weekly salon meetings that included, are you ready for it? Prayer circles. My friends, I'm not super religious, so to me, that's kind of awkward. And the landlord subleased the room without telling my friend. And my friend came in on an off day to do her own waxing, and she walked in on a massage appointment going on one of her days off. Yeah, on her table with her linens and her towels. How fucking crazy is that? She had to stay at that place for an entire year before she moved on. The owner had her in a year lease and she couldn't afford to break the lease. So yeah, landlords can be shady as shit sometimes, especially if that landlord is running a salon and just happens to have, like I said, one of those extra rooms to let. One of my more recent jobs had that exact kind of setup. It was a small salon in the front, maybe 10 chairs, maybe. And then in the back of the salon, they had another entrance that was their spa. There were like three extra rooms that were not being used. So the owner got the bright idea to lease these to a physician's assistant. And this physician's assistant had her own thriving injection business going. And where we were located was really good. Lots of moneyed people around. So the lady comes in. She brings in her own fabulous, you know, really super chic decor, super trendy. She brings in her own clients because she already had a thriving business to begin with. And I'm not kidding y'all, within a week, our owner, she had taken like a quarter of the PA's own decor, like stuff that this poor lady had bought and brought in herself. And she moved those from this woman's rented rooms into the general common area of the spa that I worked in. What? I'd have lost my shit and I'd have said something. But this physician's assistant, she was so sweet. She was too nice. And after a while, it kind of became a game of what's she gonna move today? And we would both spend like the first part of our morning just looking around to see what she'd taken out of this poor woman's room. I got to the point where I'd see it and I would just take it and put it right back into the PA's room. Can you believe that? Why did she think she had the right to take things out of a room that she is renting to someone? But some landlords, they do not understand boundaries. They think it's their property and they can do what the hell they want. They can come and they can go as they please. And that is not so. I mean, they do have the right to come in for regular things like maintenance, if there's a leaky sink or ceiling screwed up. And I know where I'm at, they do like monthly, what is that? Rodent, insect, whatever it is. You know, the people that come in and spray. So yeah, I know that they're going to be in there for things like that. That's fine. But you can't come in whenever you want and move shit around. And they don't have the right to just come and go as they please. I can't even wrap my mind around that. That would be like renting a house from someone and then coming home from work one day and you find them sitting on your couch because it's still their house. No. If you're going into a rental agreement, make sure that you read. Don't skim it, read it. Any rental agreement you sign, before you sign it, make sure that they aren't trying to enforce a dress code or limit your decor options or your retail. Some places will try to, if they sell retail, they don't want you selling retail. So make sure you're checking that. Also, they might try to limit the treatment options that you can give your clients because they also offer that same service and they don't want competition. In some places, they will try this. I've seen the retail thing quite a bit. And you also, even if you have to verbally say this, ensure that they have very limited access to your space. Also ensure that they can't sublease it if you aren't there. Some places will make you put like, they'll say it's just so that they know when the bug guy is going to be there so they know they won't bother you, but they'll want like a rough draft of a schedule that you are thinking about being on. And what their shady asses are doing is they're trying to figure out how they can make more money off of your room. So watch for it. Also, as a renter, you should be taking your own payments. If you do a haircut, if you do a facial, there shouldn't be anyone up front taking your payments. Book your own appointments too. And everything that I just said is so easy to do. Just get some apps on your wonderful smartphone. Get a Square, one of those little readers. Very easy to set up, very easy to use, and clients love every part of it. They can book online. They don't have to worry about texting you. It is so easy. If I can use Square, anybody can use it. Download the app, order your little plug thingy, and just get going. The service fees aren't that bad. I mean, yeah, it hurts my feelings when they take their money, but it is what it is. Let's see, what else? Oh, if you're a renter, the landlord has no right to your client information, nor do they have a right to any of your profits. I tell you, I've heard some horror stories about landlords who try to steal clients by undercutting their renters. Let's see, what else can a landlord for a true booth rental tell you not to do? They can't tell you your hours, and that happens quite a bit. So a landlord cannot tell you what hours you work, nor do they have any say at all in the pricing structure that you are using. If they're doing a $25 brow wax and you want to offer a $20 brow wax, then you can do that. You can undercut them or you can be super expensive. It's your pricing, you're paying rent. You also are not obligated to perform any duties within the business itself outside your space. And what I'm saying, when I say that, I mean, if the landlord comes in and hands you a broom and tells you to sweep the front area, you can shove that broom up their ass. And some of them will try to do that. I think they're just always in the mindset of an employee. This is an employee. You know, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean, bitch, I'm paying you. So here's your broom back. Problems do arise when landlords genuinely don't understand their role as a landlord. And they feel that they can set their own rules and their own regulations that are in fact illegal unless they want to change your status to that of an employee and pay your taxes. There's also a problem when estheticians, because a lot of it does, okay, let me stop. A lot of it does fall on landlords trying to take advantage. But part of the problem, estheticians don't read the agreement. And that is a huge problem. You guys have to take responsibility for what's going on and read the agreement. And if you don't think you can understand the agreement, take it to a lawyer or take it to a friend who is already renting and have them look it over. Don't just sign on the dotted line when they hand you a rental agreement. Read it. What about pricing? So let's talk a little bit about pricing. Weekly rental pricing. Ooh, I wish I could tell you there was an average, but I don't really think there is. It's so different. I mean, it depends on demographics of where you're at, how busy the salon is, those kinds of things, how big the room is. I've got a friend in Florida who she rents a chair at this really small privately owned salon and she pays $70 a week and she's perfectly happy there. I have another friend, she pays $95 to rent her room for just, she only does Saturdays and Sundays. And then I personally pay $295 a week. There are other places in my area, let's see, $275, $260. I did see a couple of private rentals that were like $150, $175. That's pretty cheap. And you have some that are a little bit more expensive. You have, you know, a little bit of a bigger suite that is $350 to $450, even up to $600 a week. And don't think just because I'm quoting weekly prices that that is the only sort of lease you can get. You can pay weekly, you can pay monthly. Like my friend does, you can pay daily. You can be in a year-long lease. You can be in a six-month lease, a two-year lease, or you can pay just simply week to week. So there's so many options for rental agreements. My suggestion, if you're looking to rent, like you're like, screw this, I can do it better my way, I'm going out on my own, and you have clientele. You better have clientele before you go out on your own or you're in for a rude awakening. But my suggestion is to do a rental only business first before going into like little mom and pop spas to rent. And what I mean is a place like Sola Salon, or is it JC Salons or Phoenix Suites? And there's a couple of other franchise businesses that have nothing but floor upon floor of suites. And they're right next to each other. They're all their own business. But that's all they do. To me, that would be a good option for just going out. I mean, it's plenty of space, typically plenty of parking. They're normally easy to find because they're on busy streets. The contracts are super simple, very straightforward. Their only business is renting to beauty industry people, so they know what they're doing. I'd never rent from someone who owned a salon or a spa and just had space in the back to lease, because I've seen that go wrong so many times. I really have. I think every place that I've worked as an esthetician has had rental options, and they always screw over the renter. So stick with the franchise businesses if you're just now going out on your own. I just think salon owners, you know, they have way too much access. There's too much of a potential for client tampering. There's not a lot of privacy. And I just don't trust people to stay out of my shit. I really don't. But good luck to all of you guys out there who have decided to embark on this journey to rent and to be your own boss. I hope to eventually be doing less clients personally in my own little space. I really kind of want to focus on offering I'm just kind of kicking the idea around, maybe offering training for licensed estheticians. Yeah, things like refresher type courses. You probably should have gotten it in school, but at the time you didn't think it was important or you didn't make the connection. That kind of thing. But I don't know. It's just something I'm kicking around. Not that I don't like working on clients, but really and truly, I miss teaching, and I've always liked teaching people who are already licensed. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But before we get off the rental subject, I wanted to hear some rental horror stories from you guys. And per usual, you gave me some. I will warn you before I get started, though, I think the majority of these are anonymous listeners, because a lot of these people are still in their leases and they didn't know if anyone that they worked with listened to the podcast by chance. So they are erring on the side of caution. First up is an anonymous follower, and she says she decided to rent after being in the field for about 2 years. And she goes on to say, I found out my hairstylist had a room she leased in the back, and around the time I decided I wanted to rent, her renter broke the lease. It was a conversation we had while she was highlighting my hair, and she went on and on about how awful this renter had been and that her husband, who happened to be a divorce attorney, was going to have one of his colleagues take her to court and get the rent that they were due plus court costs. I know, red flags were flying, but I was blinded by my need to be my own boss, and I had known this woman for years. Fast forward to my first few weeks in the space. I was miserable. The room is in the back of the building next to the break room, and all day long I could hear cackling laughter, the microwave dinging, and smell perm solution and popcorn. And I can usually distract my clients from the noise with lots of spa music. And I actually brought in three noise machines to cover up the sounds. But the other day I was doing a Brazilian and I hear a key in the door, and in walks my hairstylist, who's now my landlord. I was horrified and I dragged the client's towel down to cover her. The landlord turned red in the face and backed out of the room. I comped the Brazilian because my client was so embarrassed, and then I went out to confront the landlord. Before I can get a word out, she turns on me and screeches, "We don't do those nasty things here. This is a good Christian business. I'm mortified that you've got women in here with their genitals exposed. This has to stop. You can't do this here." Oh, wow. She says, I told her I'd do whatever I wanted because I was renting, and she tried to fire me. This is an interesting little conversation. Needless to say, that didn't work because I don't work for her. But now she and her attorney husband are working up papers to get me evicted, and she's telling anyone that will listen what a horrible person I am. I'm so tired, and I just want to go back to work for someone else. This shit isn't worth it. I dread stepping foot into that place. I say, as I'm texting you this, sitting in the parking lot of the salon, wanting to cry. Oh my God. That is so awful, girl. I'm so sorry. That is terrible. You need to get yourself out of that situation any way that you can. Get yourself a lawyer. Let's see. Next up, we have another anonymous follower, and she says, I'm renting at a Pilates bar studio, and what the hell was I thinking? Business has never been better, but holy shit, I've never waxed so many stinky, sweaty, just finished 100 donkey kickbacks. I think I'll get a Brazilian wax vaginas in my life. I don't know if this is the kind of story you wanted, but let it be a warning to other estheticians out there who think combining fitness and aesthetics will be fun. So many sweaty vaginas. I'd never thought of that, but yeah, I can see that being a problem. Okay, at Sweet Lemon Spa says that she rented a room from a chiropractor. He was so shady, but karma bit her in the booty. She didn't have my contract ready until I had already moved in. Her house burned the day she was typing up this shady contract where I would pay rent and give commission on any patients I saw. Yeah, that's not legal. She says, I told her no way and that I would move back out. Then she backed down and was like, oh, you can stay and you can charge whatever you like. But then she constantly tried to get me to give clients 50% off discounts. Her receptionist would also cancel my appointments on holidays because it offended her that I wanted to work on a holiday. After 6 years, she kicked me out because I refused to not work on a Saturday that she was shooting commercials for one of her other tenants. Gave me 3 days notice to find another place. A total witch. I don't know, that's legal. Is that legal to give you 3 days? Could you do that? I probably would have looked into that, but I'm surprised you lasted 6 years. All right, we have another anonymous listener, and she says, I specialized in brows for years. So when I went out on my own to booth rent the first time, my room was down this little hallway off the waiting room. There was this chalkboard at exactly eye level in the waiting room at where you turn to walk down the hallway to my room. The owner, my landlord, decided to advertise her own brow services on this board. And she undercut me by $20. Holy shit. She says, I had full books anyway, but it was still awkward for my clients to pass by that board on the way to their appointments. At Beauty and the Pigskin says, she had a salon owner who took everyone's keys because she was getting the entire spa rekeyed. When they finished, she says, I was the only one who didn't get a key back. Now, we had the highest turnover rate for receptionists because the owner was a control freak. Literally dozens over the course of the time I was there. We had a receptionist quit in the middle of the day, and it just so happened the spa was dead that day with no appointments on the books. I lived the closest, and the owner asked me to go check on the spa. I laughed at her and said I couldn't. She demanded to know why, and I told her that she had never given me a new key. She hung up on me. The next day, I had a key, and a month later, I moved my shit to another spa. She was totally nuts. Okay, and I think we have one more from an anonymous listener, and she says, this happened almost 3 years ago, but it still fires me up when I think about it. I rented in a busy, bougie salon in a part of town where houses are on average in the millions. Seriously, every single client drives a Tesla, Range Rover, or a Maserati. My clients weren't those people, but the rent on the room was really reasonable, so I moved in. Almost immediately, I figured out why the rent was so cheap in such a high-end area. The owner was fucking nuts. She expected me to give her free facial treatments as well as her family. And she told all of her clients that I would give them a free brow wax when they came in for any color service. Of course, I refused to do any of that. I told her I would be happy to give her and her alone a discount on services. But that was it. She had two of my clients' cars towed for being in the salon parking spots because, and I quote, they aren't salon clients. Dumped my lunch from the fridge several times. She also unplugged my wax pots so that the automatic timers I had on them wouldn't work, so that I would come into my room to cold wax pots. I've got big wax pots, so it would take forever to heat them up. I lasted 6 months, I lost several of my clients, and I was out hundreds of dollars because of lost appointments due to the wax not being ready. I'm a teacher now, and I warn anyone at school about going to work for this insane woman. Oh, and she also tried to take me to court for breaking my lease, but got sidetracked because her husband filed for divorce. Please tell all the estheticians out there, if it seems like it's too good to be true, it is. Run. Those are awful. Ugh. Now I'm second guessing myself. Thanks, guys. Okay, enough about rentals. Let's move on to our next segment. I am going to answer questions sent to me from Ed Anna's Mensosevich. Yep, that looks right. Sorry, Anna. She says, I'd appreciate it if you could help me explain pH to my clients. I know what it is, but I have such an issue making my words make sense to clients. How can I do this without sounding like an idiot? Don't feel bad, Anna. It is hard to explain things to normal people because normal people don't think like estheticians. Even if it's information that you know really well, it's super hard to verbalize that. Kind of like me struggling over everyone's names. The pH of the skin is actually, and I'm sure you know this, the measurement of the pH of the acid mantle. And of course, the acid mantle is that super thin film that's made up of all that good stuff, those lipids, those acids, your sweat. And on healthy people, it usually is between 4.5 to 6.0. Yeah. In most people. So you want a slightly acidic pH for nice, healthy skin. Now, a healthy pH or acid mantle, whichever you prefer to call it, means that you're protected from all the baddies like bacteria, from allergens, and any other irritants that your skin comes in contact in this big bad world. But sometimes, due to either maybe sickness or meds, a lot of times it's due to overzealous use of products, that pH, it shifts drastically, either to very acidic or to very alkaline. Now, this is when the skin throws a mini temper tantrum and you get a pimple or you get two, or you maybe get some redness, or your skin loses its fucking mind and you end up with a painful rash, you end up with a swath of cystic acne, or your rosacea flares really, really badly. A few common ingredients that will throw off a pH are essential oils. Another thing is harsh detergents that you find in a lot of your cleansers and your exfoliators. Or you could be using a really super drying alcohol-based toner, or pretty much any exfoliating agent can do this if you're not using the correct products. So we typically steer our clients to home care that already has what is supposed to be pH balance. And that just means something that will not upset or alter the acidity of the skin. And on a side note, that whole thing is kind of marketing. Not the pH. The pH is real. There's a pH. Yeah, it needs to be slightly acidic to be healthy. But most products are already pH balanced if it's meant to go on the skin. So if you see pH balanced products, most of them are already pH balanced. Chemists aren't out here making insanely acidic or alkaline products for people's everyday use. That's just not happening. Too much of a liability issue there. Your skin, lucky for us, it regains its ideal pH quickly, even when it's been exposed to, let's say, like a 2.0 glycolic peel. But if that same client that you just gave that glycolic peel to has other underlying factors like poor nutrition, poor home care, poor gut health, or skin conditions that are already in play like rosacea, the skin will take longer to reset itself and it will leave itself vulnerable to bacteria. So to say all of that, just to make sure you guys remember what pH is and how important your acid mantle is. When discussing pH with a client, can just keep it as simple as saying pH is a measure of how healthy your skin is. That's it. I mean, you can tell a client that the goal is to be slightly acidic for smooth, healthy skin, but don't bog them down in scientific drivel unless, you know, that's their kink. And then if it is, throw down, tell them all the science, go back through all that stuff we just talked about. I'm sure they'll find it fascinating. But if we're being honest, I rarely ever use the term pH when I'm speaking with a client. They don't really care about the pH. Instead, I try to talk more about using correct products that aren't too harsh for whatever their skin type happens to be, or if they have a condition. We also touch on how overusing really active products like glycolics and retinols, which is a huge problem right now in our world because there are actives in every damn product you can put on your face. even eye creams. And that is too much of a good thing, my friends. But if you want to talk about pH, if that's something that's important to you and your company, whoever that you work with, their product line is really big about being pH balanced, and that's like their sales pitch, then just explain that pH is just a measurement of how healthy your skin is. Easiest way to do it. Okay, and this week's Pam of the Week is more of a cautionary Pam tale than an actual Pam of the Week. Rebecca says, so today I had a client in and I could tell on the phone when she booked last week that she was going to be a Pam, and I made a note in the booking system and just wrote the word Pam in the side notes. I've done that. Anyway, during the checkout, she saw it and she was like, who's Pam? My name is Barbara. And I was like, oh shit. Oh, well, and then I said, oh, well, I thought I overheard you say Pam is who referred you to me. She was like, no, Stephanie did. I just told you all of this. And I reply, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll amend that right now. Oops. Look, I'll tell you what I do. I've had somebody read their chart on me, and I got written up one time for that. But I've had two somebodies read their charts on me. And I did put Pam, and I just told her that it was a salon acronym that we use. That was it, and she didn't say anything else about it. So if you're putting Pam in your files, make sure that you use the acronym. And you don't have to tell them what that means. Tell them it's a secret. All right, that is all the time that I have for today. Thank you all for listening. And as always, wishing you a Pam-free week. See you next time.